Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone this morning. We have a surprise guest joining me on the air, but he's no stranger to the Omega Radio Network or to the Watchman Radio broadcast. His name is Daniel Seckham. He's up late tonight, and he decided that he was going to call into the broadcast. And so without further ado, let's bring Brother Daniel onto the air. Good morning and good evening to you, sir, from where you are in Australia. How are you today?
Very well, very well. I just thought I just noticed that you guys are now on daylight saving time. Is that correct?
That is correct. And yes, you're not, so that gives you an extra hour.
Well, we haven't gone back to standard time yet, so we're still on daylight savings time. So I think we've probably got about another 4 weeks before we go back to standard time. So it's at the moment it's 1 a.m. So it's late, but it's not as late as it would have been.
Well, you know, I really believe your timing is impeccable. I received a phone call yesterday, Daniel, and it was from a familiar voice, a man that listens to us all the time on KERM Radio. He was very much involved in getting our congressman elected, Steve Womack, and he was part of that whole campaign many years ago. He's been around politics his whole life, and yesterday he called me out of the blue and he said, "Vince, there's a guy that you need to look at." He said, "Now, first of all, this man... it's a non-starter for you because he's an openly gay man. He's married to another man, his husband, and yet he is the guy that is from South Bend, Indiana. He's a Democrat, and he's blazing the trail right now." He said, "Watch out for this guy. His name is Pete Buttigieg." Pete Buttigieg, and here's what this little minor article is about him, and then I have a little clip, and then I want you to speak into this. Pete Buttigieg, the Democratic mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who is eyeing a 2020 presidential run, blasted Vice President Mike Pence on Sunday night at a CNN town hall event. Well, Buttigieg, who is openly gay, has criticized Pence in the past for his stance on LGBT rights. He said he used to at least believe that he believes in our institutions and he's not personally corrupt, That was the quote. But then Buttigieg asked, how could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump? I don't know. Buttigieg announced in January that he was forming an exploratory committee for a 2020 run, saying at the time that Democrats need a new generation of leaders to unseat President Trump. We can't look for greatness in the past, he said in an announcement at the time. Now, here's just a quick clip of Pete Buttigieg.
It's really strange because I used to at least that he believed in our – I've disagreed with him ferociously on these things, but I thought, well, at least he believes in our institutions and he's not personally corrupt. But then how could he get on board with this presidency? How could somebody who – you know, his interpretation of scripture is pretty different from mine to begin with. Okay, my understanding of scripture is that it is about protecting the stranger and the prisoner and the poor person and that idea of welcome. That's what I get in the gospel when I'm in church. And his has a lot more to do with sexuality and, I don't know, a certain view of rectitude. But even if you buy into that, how could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump? I don't know.
All right, so here's a man, openly gay, married to another man. He's being cheered excessively. That's what's going on in our world today. It's going on in our country today. He calls the Trump presidency a porn star presidency. He announces Mike Pence that his understanding of the gospel is somehow twisted, and that this openly homosexual man who's married to another man goes to church, reads the Bible, and is getting cheered on and is making a bid for the 2020 election. The man that called yesterday has been involved in politics quite some time. And Daniel, what are your thoughts? Do you know anything about this man, or what are your thoughts about what he's saying?
I have only just glanced at of the headline. I believe I saw it on Breitbart.com in regard to his comments into saying about Mike Pence and how can he support a presidency,
a porn star presidency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to speak. I think it's rather audacious for him to say that, considering that he is living in an openly gay, brazenly living in an openly gay so-called marriage. And for him to audaciously say that, I think, my goodness, that's the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, talk about hypocrisy, but then again, hypocrisy goes hand in hand with the left. So this man supposedly goes to church, yet what does he do? Does he read the Bible with a pair of scissors? I mean, that's what I would have to say to him. He must obviously have torn out Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 in regard to Paul's damning assessment of homosexuality. So Paul made it absolutely clear that the homosexuals do not inherit the kingdom of God. So it really does make me wonder whether he's reading the Bible with a pair of scissors. So just extraordinary that he could make such claims. Now, in regard to Donald Trump, for him to say that Mike Pence supports a porn star presidency, I think is absolutely extremely inaccurate and over the top for him to say such a thing. Of course, Donald Trump is not a perfect president. He certainly has his own fair share of flaws. Donald Trump absolutely can come across as a bombastic and even arrogant in the way that he says things. And let's be honest, I mean, his past is not exactly squeaky clean. But here's the thing. He was running up against easily the most corrupt presidential candidate in U.S. presidential history. Hillary Clinton epitomizes the word corruption. I mean, when you look at everything that she was doing with John Podesta and her husband in regard to the Clinton Foundation. I mean, she was up to her eyeballs in corruption. She sold to the Russians 20% of U.S. uranium. Percent of U.S. uranium she sold to the Russians. Not only that, but she was engaged in illegal activity with emails that weren't a government approved emails. And when she was caught out in regard to what she was doing with the illegal emails, she bitted her hard drive and smashed it up with a hammer. Not her personally, but her aides did. They smashed up the hard drive to try and cover up the evidence, and bleach bitted it. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We could go on and talking about her shady deals with foreign governments. The Saudi Arabians poured in millions upon millions of dollars. This is all the pay-for-play money, including my own government. The Australian government gave her millions, including New Zealand. Gave the Clinton Foundation millions. Again, this is all pay-for-play money. And yet, you could even talk about how she basically screwed over the country of Haiti. When Haiti had the earthquake, and so the Clinton Foundation came in and under the... all the media coverage came out to this big show that they were going to give millions and millions of dollars to Haiti, and they were going to restore them and get them back onto the road to recovery. That was all a load of rubbish. They came out in front of the cameras and said that they were going to help Haiti, yet behind the scenes, the Clinton Foundation was giving off all of the reconstruction progress to buddies of the Clintons, and they didn't even end up fixing any of the infrastructure. And so years later, after the Haiti earthquake, the heads of government within Haiti are still shaking their heads at the Clintons, thinking, you just rorted us. Like, you completely rorted us and underhandedly took advantage of us. And so, but again, this is all part of the corruption that is the Clinton organization. It is essentially a crime organization. They're crime mobsters. That's exactly what they're right. So Trump, even though despite his faults, was the choice, and America dodged a bullet. America dodged a bullet in electing Donald Trump. And here's another thing about Donald Trump, is Donald Trump honors the Constitution. And what I think is funny is that the left thought that they had it in the bag. They thought that Clinton was going to be a shoo-in. And yet they were the blood completely drained out of them when they realized that Donald Trump had won. Because they completely underestimated the hidden American, the invisible American. He's the American who is struggling to pay his bills and to afford to put his kids through college. The American family that is doing it tough. They completely forgot about them. These were the ones that put Donald Trump in the power because he listened to them. He talked to them. He didn't talk at them. And that's the difference.
Daniel, you know, it's interesting to me that the year 2020, it seems to be getting larger and larger and larger of a very specific moment. And, you know, people have heard, you know, the television program 2020 has been on for years and years. And according to the Hebrew calendar, the 220 missing years, we are in just a couple of weeks coming to 5999, and next year will be 2020, and it's another election cycle. And do you think that the victory of Donald J. Trump to the presidency has awakened the progressive left with a ferociousness where they have not stopped? I mean, we're seeing them punch people in the face that are standing up for Trump. I'm reading headline articles everywhere about a girl that goes to school and the hallways are lined up with the rainbow flag for the homosexual movement. So she puts Bible verses up and she's the one that is disciplined. I'm seeing all these different movements that are taking place. Is there a growing momentum on the left to, you know, a year from now, we're going to be talking about who the next president is going to be. The vote is going to come up. And do you think Donald Trump is secure in his position of power, or has the left come up with some aggressive, progressive movements to assure a victory on the left? And if that were to happen, I would suspect that that nightmare that's been held off, that bullet that we dodged, would probably hit the heart. What do you say?
Yeah, 2020 is shaping up to be a very precarious year. I mean, America is on a knife edge. America is on a knife edge. And yes, you're absolutely correct about the fact that the left are engaged in all-out cultural warfare. All-out cultural warfare. Even the big tech organization, the masters of the universe, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Google, these guys are brazen in their support of the Democrat Party. They're not even hiding it anymore. They were brazen in their opposition to conservatives and in their support for the Democrat Party. So things are definitely ramping up. Conservative speakers are being denied entry into countries and different states and cities and on university campuses. They are being blacklisted on social media. We just heard just recently that Tommy Robinson, again over in the UK, has been from Facebook, and he's also banned, I believe, also from Twitter as well. The other thing is that conservatives are being denied service from PayPal, which is denying them an income. PayPal have done this to Tommy Robinson, as well as a number of other conservatives. And now, and this is just really chilling, this is with what's actually happening at the moment, is now Amazon is now starting to ban books. So we are entering into a modern-day book burning era. We are entering into a modern-day book burning era with Amazon now taking the impetus to ban books. The book that has made the headlines and which they have banned is the book that Tommy Robinson has actually co-authored, which is about Muhammad's Quran, which is a critique on how the Quran influences Islamic jihad or Islamic extremism with the violence that goes along with it. So Amazon, all these organizations are really starting to take strides in trying to shut up conservatives. And it's really, really, really interesting. One other thing that I might actually say is that I believe that the Democrats are freaking out because they're losing sections of the black community. Sections of the black community are now siding over with Trump, thanks to Candace Owens and the great work that she's doing with Turning Point USA, with Blexit. Blexit, that's B-L-E-X-I-T. But then there's also another movement called Jexit, with many Jewish millennials that are actually waking up and are asking themselves the question, what has the Democrat Party done for the Jewish community? And the answer is nothing. The Democrat Party has done nothing for the Jewish community. And so the Jewish community are waking up to Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitic statements and are thinking, why are we supporting this party that is turning anti-Semitic on us? And so the Democrats are freaking out again because there are many, many Jews that are actually walking out of the party and walking away. And this is why that the Democrats are so full tilt, full steam ahead in pushing for illegal immigrants to come into America. This is their, essentially, their their last hurrah. This is their final roll of the dice. This is their last gamble. Their great gamble for the Democrats is that they are putting all their eggs into the one basket and pinning all their hopes on getting the illegal immigrant vote, because they are losing. They've lost the middle class. The middle class basically have seen the basket case of what the Democrat Party has descended into. They have overplayed their hand in many, many different issues, and now the Democrats are pushing for open borders and illegal immigrants big time. And it's important to understand why. And why is because is mass illegal immigration is about gaining millions of Democrat votes. Chain migration, sanctuary cities, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or in other words, the DACA program, and the citizenship for illegals living in the country illegally. Now, here's the thing. We'll give the left massive, immense political power, because an estimated 70 to 80% of immigrants from Latin America will vote Democrat. There's no doubt about that. So with enough new voters from Latin America alone, the Democrats will easily be assured the presidency, a majority in the House of Representatives and the Senate for the foreseeable future. Now, such a long hold on these federal government branches will also enable them to do away. Well, first of all, it will ensure them Supreme Court picks who would favor their agenda for the foreseeable future. And along with that, it will give them the ability to do away with the Electoral College. And if that happens, it'll be game, set, match. And America cannot afford to let that happen.
And that is the battle. That is the battle that we're in right now. I want to shift just for a moment. I was having a conversation with Patricia this morning, and we were talking about why the country, why the world right now is going so pro Islamic or so pro-homosexual. Why is there such a mental turning, a mental shifting in the minds of the masses to the point now that the people that are standing up for what has always been morally right? And I would reference this Peter Buttigieg in his comments on the CNN town hall meeting, where he felt sorry for those Christian conservatives who grew up trusting people that told them that same-sex relationships were immoral, those really poor people, they were so deceived. And my question is, and I think I understand some of it, but when we talk about the Antichrist, and we've got to bring this biblicity into this, the Antichrist, and this was part of our conversation in Daniel 11:37, it says of him, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And that's very consistent with 2 Thessalonians and so on. But the phrase that a lot of people have that I always understood when I go back to the Islamic faith, when I think about Muslims, they don't have a real desire for women. They put them on leashes. They have them under a garb. But some are suggesting that neither shall he regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women, that he's a homosexual. Can you speak into that? What are your thoughts?
It could be. It is a possibility that you could interpret it, the scripture, that way. I mean, let's have a look, for example, at Barack Obama. I don't believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist, but I think he's kind of, in a way, a type and shadow in a certain sense, because within Barack Obama, you have the marriage of Islam with the left. See, Obama is a die-in-the-wool socialist. There's no question about that. He's a leftist. I mean, when you look at his mentors, Frank Marshall Davis was a communist. You know, he was buddies with Bill Ayers from the Weather Underground. All the people who he hung out with were all socialists and card-carrying communists. Now, but however, he has an Islamic upbringing as well. So he has never, in fact, In an interview with Jeremiah Wright, the church that he went to for political purposes, by the way, not because of any religious reason, but the church that he went to where the Jeremiah Wright was a pastor, many of you will remember Jeremiah Wright as the man who said, "God damn America."
Mm-hmm.
So now Jeremiah Wright, in an interview taken from a few years ago, said, the question was put to him, did Obama renounce Islam at any point during his time attending your church? And he said, no. He said, to my recollection, Obama never renounced Islam while he attended my church. So isn't that interesting? So
What
we have within him is a marriage, and this is what I mean, a lot of people, leftists try and point the finger at Trump and say that Trump is the one who's caused this, the division in the country. That is the biggest lie that could ever be told. It was Obama. It was 8 years of Obama's divisive policies that have caused the massive rift within America. It was Obama himself that championed leftist causes and lifted up Islamic causes. He was the one who made it possible for Islam to make so much inroads within American culture, as it was for him to make it possible for all leftist causes, including the LGBT. He was the instigator behind all of that. And so when you quote that passage from Daniel where you're talking about how the Antichrist, how he is Islamic, but there's also this element that he could be gay. I mean, you know what, Vincent? To be honest with you, it could possibly be that this so-called Antichrist, not only is he has a Muslim aspect, Islamic aspect to him, he could very well also have a homosexual aspect to him as well. I would not be surprised if that was the case.
Daniel, I was privy to a conversation back in 1989. And again, this is just a conversation with an apostle of God, a true man of God, a man that was making himself of no reputation. He condescended to men of low estate. He was the kind of man that would not rise above the knees of anybody. He was a servant of God. And we were having a general conversation back in 1989. And I was a young Christian at that time and, you know, very zealous. And I said to him, I said, so when do you think the Lord's going to come? You know, and I'm always with right now. I'm always here. The imminent feeling is what I used to really hold in my heart just naturally. And I'll never forget. He looked at me and says, I believe the Lord will return around 2024. And that was it. And I said, 2024, man, that's 1,000 years from now. And that was it. That man of God, he never preached it, never talked about it. I asked a question. He gave an answer, 2024. And now we're moving at the rate of speed that we're at. And we're talking about the formation of a one world government. We're seeing the modern technology, which in 1989, there wasn't an internet as we know it today. There weren't smartphones as we know it today. The interconnectedness of the global agenda, the global brain coming from the United Nations did not exist at that time. And we're talking now about this 2020 election cycle. Can you imagine, Daniel? Right now, if I were to predict something, not prophesy, but just say, man, my feeling is with the way things feel right now in America, there's no way that Donald Trump is going to win the next election. And on the other hand, if the left is thinking there's no way he's going to lose, well, then this painful thing, and there has been a prophetic word that the heart of the people of America is going to be broken. There's something very tragic that is about to happen that's going to break the heart of the people, the moral people of this country, the people that stand for this nation. Their heart is going to be broken. And I keep thinking, is that an assassination? I mean, they all want to impeach him. Now, is the left so progressive that they're trying to spin things to win an election, or will we make it to an election? But if we do go to an election in 2020, and if Donald Trump were to lose that election and this ferocious left comes to power, man, I could see where the, you know, 3.5 years down the road of great tribulation at that period against believers in the realm of persecution. And again, I'm just talking right now. What are your thoughts about something like that? Are we that close?
Well, let me just say that the left are in overdrive. They are fever pitch hysteria in trying to stop Trump winning in 2020. Now, the left are motivated by two big motivators for this. Now, the first motivator is the fact that they want power and they want to win. Okay, they want to dominate. But here's the other motivating factor. They don't want to go to prison. Because many of the actors, many within the deep state, know that if Trump has another 4 years in office, there will be more of a chance for their crimes and misdemeanors to be found out and for them to face prison. And so Adam Schiff, Mueller himself, Strzok and Clapper and Brennan and all these CIA guys in the intelligence community, many of them are up to their eyeballs in corruption. And it really is just a matter of time before Trump actually exposes them for some of the things that they've been involved with, and they could very well be looking at a lengthy prison sentence. So they are motivated by two things. They want to win because they want power, they want to control people, but they also don't want to go to prison. So there's those two big motivating factors for them to win in 2020. So Trump has already threatened them. He says, listen, if you – and by the way, Mueller has suggested going after Trump's children. So Donald Trump Jr. and Trump are in his crosshairs. So Mueller is trying to indict them. Now, if that happens, Trump has already warned them, if you do such a thing, I'm going to release these confidential files. So it really is a very interesting thing, a time, seeing what's happening. But from a spiritual point of view, which is where we want to get to, we need to ask the question, has America repented of her sins? And the answer to that is no. I would really love to see that America repent, but she hasn't repented. Now, that's not to say that there isn't pockets of revival in certain aspects. I mean, there was a great revival with young people down in Florida just recently. We're seeing a bit of a revival within the armed services in the Army. There are we're seeing different revivals and awakenings in certain pockets around the country. But is America on a whole repenting? And the answer to that is no. America is not repenting. And so there has to be, if God is a God of justice and holiness, then there has to be a day of reckoning for America. And I hate saying that because I love America. But God is a God of justice. And so I believe that the time is, it's just only a matter of time until God actually, until the hammer of justice falls upon America. Now, as it has already been said, with Thomas Jefferson said, tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. So that is a sobering thing to consider, but God's patience only goes for so long, and America is showing no signs of repenting from her sin. In fact, America is only becoming more brazen and more arrogant in celebrating its sin. And so I fear for America. I know judgment is coming, and it's not if judgment is coming, but when judgment is coming.
Daniel, the last time we spoke, you had mentioned that in some kind of a spiritual manner that the United States has been the restrainer, you know, the particular laws that governed this nation that once promoted righteousness and condemned what is evil have been taken out of the international community, the globalists around the world, to eradicate, take USA out of the way so that this licentious, satanic mantra can be fulfilled where the nations of the earth will eventually be worshiping this system of the beast?
There's no doubt about that. America is standing in the gap between world order and tyranny and chaos. America is standing in the gap between Israel being safe and prosperous or Israel coming under attack and being destroyed. America is the difference. And this is why there is so much satanic concentration, satanic energy and satanic power focused, concentrated upon America. This is Satan has basically throwing everything he possibly can at America. He has to bring America down because America is what stands in his way. As we spoke about last week, Satan wants to destroy the Jews. He wants to destroy Israel. In fact, there's a word that really that comes up that summarizes the two, and that is the word Zion. Zionism. Satan hates Zion. He wants to destroy it. He wants to completely obliterate it. He is filled with satanic rage over Zion, and he wants to do everything he possibly can to utterly desecrate it and destroy it.
The Zionism. Now, getting back to Zionism, you used a word indictment where the adversary here in the United States was thinking about indicting the president's sons. What's going on with the indictment attempt against Bibi Netanyahu?
Well, it's interesting because we need to understand that the deep state is not an American phenomenon. Okay, so the deep state has only really reared its ugly head over the past 3 years, 3 to 4 years. So because ever since Donald Trump's election, the deep state really, I mean, you saw the amount of leaks that came out from the White House. There was leak after leak after leak after leak. And Trump, it was quite extraordinary. I mean, for the first 6 months of Trump's administration, he had to deal with all the leakers and prosecute one after the other and get rid of one after the other, all of these Obama stayovers and holdovers. So the deep state is absolutely real, but it doesn't just exist to it doesn't just extend to America alone. The deep state is a global organization. Its contacts and network is all over the world, including within Israel. Within Israel has its own deep state. In its own deep state, I mean, it all happened when with the appointment of the Israeli attorney general, who was actually corrupt and is a leftist himself. And so this attorney general basically is the one who was putting these indictment charges on Bibi Netanyahu for corruption, which is ridiculous. And Netanyahu has said that he will fight the charges, and so he should, because he is not guilty. So the deep state within Israel is trying to bring him down. Now, the other development that's actually happening within Israel is that Benny Gantz, who was the former head of the IDF, and Yair Lapid, who is a former celebrity, reality celebrity, now turned politician, have joined forces. Now, they had separate political entities, but now they have joined forces to be the powerful centrist party to challenge Bibi Netanyahu's right-wing party, Likud. So Things, Bibi needs all the prayers that we can possibly give him. We need to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu because he needs all the prayers that we can possibly give him because this is a massive fight. Satan is doing everything he possibly can to remove Benjamin Netanyahu. And by the way, Obama was busted for interfering in the previous Israeli elections. You might remember Obama sent his top campaign manager over to strategize in bringing down Benjamin Netanyahu for the previous election. So it's so funny how the Democrats decry foreign interference in elections when Obama was the one who masterminded foreign interference in the Israeli election. So this whole deep state thing is worldwide. It's a globalist agenda. We're seeing it happening in England at the moment. You know, like Theresa May suffered another defeat because the tentacles from the EU are trying to do everything they possibly can. They will not let go of Great Britain without a fight. The EU is fighting to keep Britain within the EU. Now, it's just been revealed that Tony Blair has been in talks with Emmanuel Macron and coaching him how to keep Great Britain in the EU. I mean, the treachery and treason that is going on is just unbelievable. But the globalists are becoming more and more brazen, and they're not trying to hide it anymore because they sense blood in the water. They sense that they have they're becoming desperate because they had the momentum, but the momentum is starting to slip and they're beginning to panic. And this is why they're resulting to such extreme measures.
Well, I agree with you. Excuse me. This is Pastor Patricia Daniels. And God bless you. So good to hear from you. And I am so thankful you called in. You know why? The reason I'm thankful is because I have a question, and I see what is happening and the great deception that is filling this world and every recourse imaginable being produced. But I do want to ask you this one question. It was by Rick Wiles that it was mentioned, and I have been pondering it, just wondering what you thought regarding his statements. And here it is. And do you know who Rick Wiles is?
Yes.
Okay, so you're familiar with him. He says, I personally believe that the man of perdition, and I believe this is where we're coming to from all that we're discussing, this is the thing that we're going to see rise up, and I think we're all curious. He says, I personally believe that the man of perdition, the one that you call Antichrist, I personally believe he will be a homosexual Jew. This is my personal view. I just said it on national television. Watch out for global Zionism taking over this planet through artificial intelligence, which he believes will be absolutely connected to the Antichrist spirit. So I would like to have your opinion on this, knowing it's late, and very thankful that you did call in.
Yeah, well, Rick Wiles, I have noticed just recently that he has become anti-Israel in a number of his different posts, I have noticed, and some of the things that he said on his True News website, where he's become kind of anti-Christian Zionism. And it almost seems as if he has taken on board some aspects of replacement theology, which is really, really, really sad. So could he be a homosexual Jew? I would say no. I believe that Rick Wiles is wrong. I believe that the Antichrist will definitely be Islamic because when you look at the different aspects that is expected of the Antichrist that lines up with with Scripture. And just to give you a bit of an idea of some of those things is, for example, I mean, the Islamic sources are quite clear in regard to their Mahdi, what their expectation of their Mahdi, which is our biblical, lines up with our biblical Antichrist. For example, Islamic sources say that al-Mahdi will reign for 7 years. Okay, so al-Mahdi is the, he is like the Islamic Messiah figure that is to come, that the Muslims are all expecting. And Islamic sources say that al-Mahdi will reign for 7 years. Now, interestingly, our Bible says that the Antichrist will reign for 7 years. So Islamic sources say that he will make a deal with the Jews for 7 years. Okay, so this is why he can't be a homosexual Jew who will make a deal with the Jews for seven years. But it says that within Islam, they teach that al-Mahdi will break it. He will not honor it. He will break it. Now, interestingly, the Bible says in the book of Daniel that he will make a covenant with the Jews for 7 years and he will break it after 3.5 years. Isn't that interesting? Islamic sources say that he will embark on a global conquest riding a white horse. Now, Islamic sources depict that. In fact, if you Google Mahdi in Arabic into Google search engines and click on images, it will come up with al-Mahdi riding on a white horse. So the Bible says that the book of Revelation sees a white horse with a ride-up quest. Now, Islamic sources believe that he will submit the world to Sharia law and observe the Muslim calendar. Now, we know what Daniel says. In the book of Daniel, it says that he will attempt to change the laws and the times. What are the laws? Well, the laws, he will attempt to change the laws to Sharia law and the times as well. He will, and whenever Islam conquers a nation, they replace the Gregorian calendar with the Muslim calendar. So here's another stunning observance. The Islamic Jesus, known as Isa, will appear and perform miracles and accompany the Mahdi. Now, the Bible says that the false prophet will accompany the beast and will deceive the nations into worshipping the beast. Now, the Islamic Jesus will be Jewish. Now, this is why I don't believe that the Antichrist himself will be Jewish. I believe the false prophet will be Jewish, okay? So it says within Islam, they believe that Jesus will be Jewish and will win many for Allah by working miracles. Isn't it amazing? Now, the Bible says that the false prophet will work miracles, even causing fire to come down from heaven in full view of men. So, again, another stunning revelation. Now, Islamic sources believe that al-Mahdi will establish global Islamic reign called the Caliphate. The Bible says that Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years. So there's a carbon. Al-Mahdi is a copy of what Jesus will do. Islamic sources says that his principal form of execution will be beheading. And we know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded, as we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Now, Islamic sources say that he will establish his headquarters from Jerusalem and will rule from the Temple Mount. Now, that is absolutely outstanding. That's a stunning observance that Islam believes that al-Mahdi will establish his headquarters not from Mecca, but from Jerusalem, Al-Quds, as they say, and will rule from the Temple Mount. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Antichrist will appear in Jerusalem and will set himself up in the temple. Islamic sources believe that he will lead a conquest to persecute Jews and Christians. The Bible says that he will persecute Jews and Christians all over the world. So Islamic sources say that he will crush the defenses of Israel and slaughter the Jews. Now we know about that infamous hadith that says that in the last days, the slaughter will be that great in the land where the Jews, where the rocks and the trees will cry out and say, "O Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me." Shocking, absolutely shocking, but that's what the hadith says. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that he will invade the Holy Land and kill the inhabitants and take them captive. We know that in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, it says that two-thirds in the land will be cut off. Two-thirds in the land of Israel will be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. We know that we saw a type and shadow of what Hitler did in the 1930s. Before Hitler came to power, there are 9 million Jews living in Europe. And after Hitler managed to do with his final solution, Hitler wiped out 6 million Jews, which is two-thirds. That's not the fulfillment. That's a partial fulfillment. It's a foreshadowing of what the Antichrist will do. So Islamic sources believe that a false Jesus will appear called the Dajjal, but Al-Mahdi will kill him. Now, which I think is extraordinary. It's like a satanic way of convincing the Muslims that there will be a challenger to Al-Mahdi, and he will be Jewish, but Al-Mahdi will kill him. What does the Bible say? That the true Jesus will appear, but he will kill the Antichrist. This explains why the armies of the Antichrist, the armies of the beast, will not shrink away once Jesus appears, but rather that they will fight him. They will attempt to fight him, okay, because they have it ingrained into them that they are expecting the Al-Dajjal. They're expecting him. So they're going to fight him because they believe that Mahdi will kill him. So it's just extraordinary, but this is why I do not believe that the Antichrist will be a Jewish. He could possibly have a homosexual aspect about him, as we read in Daniel 11, but I think it's quite clear that it's going to be Islam that's going to be persecuting the Jews all over the world in these last days, and it's Islam that's going to burn the prostitute and kill, that's going to eat the prostitute's flesh, bring her to her ruin, and burn her with fire. It's going to be Islam that's going to do that. And once the prostitute has been dealt with, which will be America, Islam will have its full sway to do what it wants to go after Israel and to destroy it. And that's where the time of Jacob's trouble will come in.
Oh, wow. You know, what you've been saying, Ahmadi fits the bill so well. And I do hear what you are presenting, and it is fitting, so very fitting. But there is one question I have. The question that bothers me in this whole scenario is that Daniel says the final Antichrist will be homosexual, that they there would not be a desire of a woman, and he will not have sexual desires toward a woman, suggesting, of course, that he would be a homosexual. Now, I know that Islam clearly teaches that homosexuality is forbidden and unto death, actually. So how does that all fit in with Ahmadi's position?
That's a good question, and I'm glad you raised that, because even though homosexuality is absolutely condemned, there are actual allowances for sodomy to take place in certain circumstances. So, which I think is pretty interesting. So yes, there is on the outside where there are Quranic verses, there are parts of the hadith that condemn homosexuality wholesale, but there are also provisions. There are also provisions where sodomy is also permitted. So again, like we were discussing earlier, Someone like Obama, who has such smooth speech. I mean, his speech is so smooth. He is filled with charisma. I mean, the people swoon over him, and yet there is this homosexual aspect about him that we see in his past, where when he was known as Barry Sotero, when he was in college in Hawaii, a former student who was with who studied with Obama when he was in Hawaii, came out and said that that he was a homosexual at that particular time. And also while he was in Columbia University. So, in fact, he had the nickname back then, Bathhouse Barry, because he was a frequent visitor of the bathhouses in which he engaged in his sodomy. So there is that aspect about him. But and then you see how he favored the homosexual agenda so much. I mean, he campaigned on the fact that marriage was between a man and a woman. But then, of course, he changed his mind in that famous interview that he did, where he said that he believed that that homosexuals should have the right to be married. So he backtracked, and he backtracked on his campaign promises and paved the way for homosexual marriage to be legalized. So, again, with somebody like Obama, you see the marriage between the homosexual aspect of the left that we see with the left, but you also see the Islamic aspect rolled into one man. And this particular man is the man who the crowds swoon over. And someone like that could very well be a type of Antichrist. Do I believe that he could be it? I don't think so. I think it will be somebody else. Someone younger, I tend to believe, only because that there are hadiths that tend to suggest that al-Mahdi will be 40 years old. So, it just have to be a wait and see kind
Thank
of a thing.
So
but
much,
we'll
Daniel.
Certainly know when he presents himself.
Amen, amen. So Patricia gives her regards. As we're coming to the end of the broadcast, Daniel, we're so thankful that you called into the broadcast today. And, you know, my sense in our conversation, one word keeps coming to my mind, and I don't mean to be thematic or dramatic, but I truly sense an avalanche. There's going to be in this world in which we live an eventual avalanche of events that are going to intend to consume people from ever being effective again. And that brings me to my closing remark today, that if when it comes to the globalization and who is going to be worshiping, and is the Antichrist a Jewish man, a Islamic man, et cetera, et cetera. We know that the Bible says every nation on earth, every tongue, every culture on earth is going to worship the beast, including aspects of Israel. And the only people that will not worship this beast will be those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the reason why their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life is because their garments are unspotted and clean. And it is imperative for every true Christian on this planet, for all believers, Jew, Gentile, all believers, to be unspotted from this world. And we live in a world that is filled with corruption, and it's all about keeping your head down, staying low, and moving forward in the purpose of God for your life, walking in true humility, walking in holiness. And I would say that probably maybe a fifth of the people that are conservatives in this country have any real armor on in the cultural battle. And the battle is a very intense battle as well. And there's still a lot of room for people to get involved in so many different aspects of the cultural war that's going on today. It is being fueled by satanic spirit. I'm convinced of that, but the Holy Spirit will fuel his people. Daniel, we've simply run out of time, my dear friend. I want to thank you for calling in. A last word before we go.
Well, I think with what you just said, Vincent, we need to work while we have daylight, because night is coming. We need to do everything we possibly can to get the gospel out, because the time will come where everything will shut down for us and we won't be able to do any work anymore. So we need to work while we have daylight, because night is coming.
Amen. God bless you, Daniel Sec. I'm calling in from Australia today, dear friend. We've simply run out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. I'm heading over to KURM Radio. You can listen to a one-hour broadcast live in 1 hour at KURM.net. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's been great being with you all today. We'll talk to you real soon. Back Deliverance Roundtable discussion over at Omega Radio. It's on right now. God bless everybody.